RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
He really doesn't need much of an introduction anymore. I think he's done his time reintroductions. Dr. Guy Hatchard, HatchardReport.com is back with us. Guy, good morning. Thanks for coming back on.
Good morning, Paul.
All right. We thought we would run just a few things by you, Guy, and get your reaction to a couple of interviews that we've had lately and the overall debate on deregulating GE, taking it out of the lab, putting it in the field. First up, there was Judith Collins coming up 2 weeks ago now. And she, it sounded, she had a once-over lightly idea of the whole thing to me. What did you think of what she had to say, first up?
Well, she donned her plastic coat, her white coat, didn't she? And, pretended that scientists think that, this was going to be a giant engine for New Zealand's economy. And everybody else in the world was doing it, so why aren't we? And, this is the best. And Luxon chimed in with, this is the best thing that has ever happened to New Zealand. So, bright and breezy and lacking on substance. And what we're going to do today, I think, is pick apart what the real substance of this is.
Yeah, just on that one, before we go to the other interview I want to ask you about, is that... she said she listed a whole lot of countries and areas of the world that were engaged in this. I wonder if there's any actual comparison with what could end up happening here and what's already happening. You'll have a view on that. But I said to her, I said, what if they're wrong? And she said, no, they're not. So definite. What? How can you ever be? This gets me every time. You're so secure in your response, and I know that you don't know much about what you're talking about.
Well, first of all, the big lie, of course, is it's happening in every other country around the world. That's simply not true. And the other thing is that it's extraordinary that someone could sort of stand up and say these things. So it's a supposedly intelligent person. After all, she's a lawyer. When we've just sort of coming off the back of a global pandemic, where the virus emerged from a lab and the cure that failed similarly, and the global excess deaths, and the idea that, this is safe and wonderful and so on, it's very hard to digest, really. It gives you a severe case of indigestion if you really simply think about it.
Yeah, I mentioned to her the mRNA being a gene product, right? I was right in saying that, wasn't I, raising that as a gene, genetically modified product?
Yeah, there's a couple of papers out this week in International Journal of Virology and Vaccinology and so on. And, labeling it absolutely clearly. Look, you've got to face the fact this is a gene therapy. It's not a vaccine. It's not a traditional vaccine in any sense of the word. This is our first sort of global taste of what unregulated biotechnology is like. And it's, dangerous.
And yeah, I raised that with her, not to, highlight excess deaths and that, but to show that already trusting authorities, agencies has been completely shattered already. So why do we believe anything that anyone says anymore? That was really my point.
Yeah. Well, they have a good patter, don't they? They brush up really well. They wear their white coats and they tell us everything's going to be okay. I sort of felt that Luxon was sort of channeling Jacinda Ardern, actually, the one podium of truth. But it doesn't wash anymore, does it? Because people are falling sick and with unusual conditions, and our relatives and friends and the hospitals are crowded, and what's gone wrong?
Okay, so there was that. Then you've already heard this morning our interview with Dr. Alec Forster of Scion, and that was a both sides of the story interview to hear the other side from a genetic engineer. He's portfolio lead bioproducts at Scion. And he was obviously very enthusiastic about what he does, fair enough. Inspired, I think he said, by sci-fi and all that sort of stuff. And he seemed to think that there was the only problem with GE was the perception problem. So anyway, tell us what you thought about what he had to say as someone in the industry working now. And he said he wasn't going for patents anymore necessarily, just trying to save the world kind of thing. But what were your impressions of what he had to say?
Well, big tech for RCR, because these people won't debate directly with people like myself who've been in the industry. So you've set it up very nicely, really. I mean, we've had his PR patter this morning. And what does Alec Foster do? Well, he makes plastics by a slightly different process than making them from oil. So he's not actually addressing the major problems of plastic pollution, plastic waste, and microplastics, and so on. He's simply substituting a process that anyone can do from oil with a process that he himself actually, as you said, introducing him, he actually holds some of the patents himself on how to do it. You know, he said that the U.S. was driving market changes to non-oil products. And he cited a company, LanzaTech, which used to be based in New Zealand, which moved overseas, which he described as being a multi-billion dollar company working in the field of these CO2 bio-waste plastics. And well, LanzaTech in September 2023, it was worth $1.6 billion. That was its market capitalization. And almost a year later, it is now valued at six times less than that, $200 billion. Yeah. And, this is an indication that we're seeing in companies across the board in this kind of innovative field of market rejection of these expensive so-called climate change mitigation technologies. No one can afford them. They're patented technologies, they're very expensive, and they're not hitting the market as Judith Collins suggested they are. This is a reality. You look at all these companies, synthetic meat companies, they're failing companies. And some of them recently have been going bankrupt. They've just been tanking because there's huge investment involved, but there's no real market for breakfast made from insects. And so
cornflakes made from insects.
He went on to say, and you correctly asked him, was there anything to be scared of there? And his answer was absolutely not. And we've already covered the fact that he must be willfully blind to the effects of the pandemic and the global surge in disease rates and excess deaths and so on. But, go to a scientist who is really sort of working carefully in this field. You know, King's College in London is a huge GE research center aimed at trying to cure genetically inheritable diseases. And Dr. Tony Lockett, a rare disease expert at King's College, and I quote him from a newspaper article 2 days ago, believes there are a number of serious risks to CRISPR gene editing that are being used in these so-called treatments, that experimental treatments. He claims that inserting genetically modified cells into the body could raise the risk, not the cure, of cancer.
Yeah.
There's also the danger that the virus used to deliver the CRISPR gene therapy may damage the patient. Off-target effects of gene editing are now, as even CRISPR, the so-called accurate CRISPR, are now well known. They include chromosomal damage. Look, there are really serious risks with these technologies, and it's one of the reasons why they're enormously expensive. We also have individual immune characteristics. So any kind of gene therapy actually has to be tailored to the individual.
How do you do that?
Well, you've got to do an enormous number of tests. I mean, people who are going through gene therapy, they're very often had to go through bone marrow transplants and complete eradication of their stem cell system and replace them with. These are all very dangerous procedures that, they're just very risky, and they're absolutely a sort of a last chance experimental approach. And the cost, the cost, $3 million for one procedure on one person. We put out a release today where we analyzed the costs of a new procedure to treat hemophilia. And you work out very quickly that if you were to treat the people within, suffering hemophilia, you would start to bankrupt the nation because the cost is enormous. You've got a situation here where you're dealing with gene technology. You have lots and lots of highly expensive gene technologists per patient. The amount of machine care and so on that these people have to go through. We're not talking about a miracle cure. We're talking about something that's very, very experimental. And
who's talking about the cost, though, Guy? There's all this happy talk about what can be done, but I'm just doing them. How many hemophiliacs in the UK?
Well, there are 6,000 hemophiliacs in the UK. So at roughly $3 million per intervention, that's about £10 billion. 6% of the current UK health budget spent on a single condition suffered by 0.01% of the population. That's 1 in 10,000. And then comes the PR. Which was very evident in your interview with Alec, where, wow, this is a miracle. No one would refuse this. This is wonderful. Well, they're talking about millions of people benefiting. Well, if you scale this up to millions of people benefiting, I scaled up these figures to millions of people benefiting, and the cost in the UK would be about £136,000 from every man, woman, and child in the UK,
which is nearly 80 million. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. And they don't earn that much, and certainly the children don't earn that much.
It would bankrupt the country. It would bankrupt the country. One thing I noticed with Alec is when I started questioning climate, immediate pivot to medical.
Yeah, because that's the sob story, isn't it? Yes, these are tragedies. Someone has leukemia. There are about 700 new cases of leukemia in this country every year, and it's peaking, by the way. It's getting higher, and why? We know why, don't we? That's a sort of it's a tragedy, and one has sympathy with these people, but it's completely misleading to say we're about to cure you of your leukemia as long as you allow us to deregulate biotechnology. Because deregulating biotechnology was directly responsible for the pandemic.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone can deny that. The other thing, going back to the earlier interview, Judith Collins, more happy talk, the apple tree that could bloom in a year. Again.
I might need to use that. My apple trees, we're frost-free up here, and my apple trees are not doing very well.
Well, that's from planting it, if I remember rightly, to being able to pick the apple off the tree. And now I know nothing about apples or apple trees, but again, it's that happy talk which glosses over so much is what I feel.
Let me just say one thing also, because Alec also said that we're already eating this stuff with no problem. And that's what I see as the problem. Our food is being systematically changed without us realizing. Our cheese... Now, virtually all of our cheese has genetically engineered rennet, which is a powerful biochemical designed in a laboratory to precipitate solids in solution. And it is affecting our blood, and it's complicating conditions like heart disease, strokes, menstrual complications, hemorrhoids, varicose veins, etc. You don't want to be ingesting large quantities of a chemical designed to precipitate solids in solution. And is it doing that? We don't know, because it's unlabeled, it's not traceable, and no one has done any experimentation. It's simply been allowed into the food chain without questioning what's going on. And yet we're seeing increased incidence of a wide range of illnesses, and no one knows why. Well, the why could very well be in the changing content of our food that is coming out of the biotechnology industry.
It's really interesting what happened over the weekend with RFK Jr. suspending his campaign and joining the Trump campaign and maybe the Trump administration later on. And I saw his speech to the rally in Arizona and his other speech, the longer one that he did announcing his moves. And it seemed to me that the crowd in Arizona, when he talked about the dysfunctional food chain, let's say, the poisoning of food and the state of health of Americans, and it was like a clarion call to save America's health, that went down like you wouldn't believe. Our politicians and our media seem to be unaware of that, because I haven't seen much of this reporting over the weekend, and that's a huge deal in that election. And they're not reading the room. I can't think of a
another way of saying it. I watched it too. I think everyone should watch Kennedy's speech and Trump's introduction, for that matter.
Yeah,
he's saying that too. It was an example of politics working. There were two people, you know, very famous in their own right, meeting, talking about issues, and they were very different people with very different ideas, but they had a meeting of minds on child health and some other health issues. And wow, you know, yes, they were reading the room. People are concerned about deterioration in health, the growth of very unusual conditions.
That's now a presidential political issue in the campaign now. In fact, probably one of the top ones now. It's hardly mentioned here.
Yes. Yeah, why? Why aren't we dealing with our rate of excess deaths? Why aren't we dealing with the overcrowding in hospitals? You know, I'm sure you've had the same thing, but I've had friends now going into hospital with heart conditions and finding themselves in some tiny cubicle, two to a cubicle and so on, and then all being sent home. Well, you're not quite sick enough, you know, even though you probably had a heart attack, but, you know, goodbye.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. Getting back to the planned deregulation, what they've been talking about, and who's doing it, will we be, with the plans that seem to be in place here, if it ultimately pans out end of 2025, will we be doing anything different from other countries? Because quite often, we always seem to go further, you know, and kind of overplay things. Are we in danger of that?
Absolutely. We will become a magnet, because if you look at the map of the world, there are very few countries, Australia is one of them, where they allow open field trials of genetically modified crops. We'll have people arriving on our shores wanting to try every experiment under the sun here in New Zealand. Because that's another lie at the basis of this whole campaign, that to deregulate biotechnology, that everybody else is deregulating it. We need to catch up with them. Everyone else is making money. These are, you know, they're easily. The thing is, it's 2 minutes research on the internet to find out whether these statements are true. They're not, and we will be exposed as a kind of a great place to go and do crazy experiments with biotechnology, because the government there is prepared to turn a blind eye.
Well, Judith Collins very quickly mentioned rabbit holes as soon as we started talking about that, so that's where that got parked off by her.
It's kind of speak. I you know, who wants this kind of stuff? Well, there are, you know, highly paid people like your Dr. Alec Foster. I'm sure he pulls in a jolly good salary, and he's got his patents too. There are investors. A lot of tech companies have big interests in biotechnology. You've got your biopharmaceutical industry worth $1 trillion who've just made enormous profits off the pandemic. You've got lobbying and, what amounts to bribery of politicians all over the world. You know, there's a class of technocrats, of biotechnocrats, who are really trying to seize hold of the agenda everywhere. And it's got nothing to do with health. It's got everything to do with vast profits. And, they masquerade as people who care about health. And when you look at the fundamental causes of ill health, there's a lot we have to clean up. We don't need to start polluting our food even more than we already are. There are a lot of simple approaches to health that need to get a look into our health system so we can start to put it right.
I've got a sinking feeling, Guy, that this will pass eventually.
There's two ways you could read that.
What about you?
All things will pass.
That they'll get it over the line is what I mean.
Yeah, well, this is a very determined government, isn't it? And they're not really, as you say, reading the room. And... one thing I won't discount is, there are always wild cards in these kind of situations. There are events. What did Macmillan, the former British Prime Minister, say? What determines things in politics? He said, events, my dear son, events. So we don't know. We just have to keep raising our voice. We have to realize that our human rights are at risk here. We have to push for a change to our New Zealand Bill of Rights, make it enforceable. We have to push for clauses in there that protect our genetic identity. We have to lampoon people who mislead the public, as we are doing today.
We'd want to hear Māori speak up about this as well, wouldn't we? Because this seems fundamental to their concept of who they are as well. You don't start tinkering with the genetics and messing around with the whakapapa, I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in their interest. It's in their health interest. Ask Māori, how many tragedies have been in your people over the last 4 or 5 years? And you just have to sit down and start explaining that this is what we do at the HatchardReport.com and Globe.Global. We try and sit down and put scientific information in a form that's accessible to the layman. And I just hope that we have a lot of subscribers, and I hope that, and I know that they are sharing this information with other people, their family members who are now starting to have doubts. And I just have to think that I have to be an optimist and say no mountain is too high.
No, that's true. Yeah.
I think the other way is a bit depressing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm a bit over feeling that way. All right, in the time we've got left, latest births and deaths, year ended June 2024. What do we need to know about that?
Well, it's more of the same. Our birth rate has gone down a little bit. And as I commented recently, we have people like the leader of the ACT Party who's saying, that poorer people should have fewer children. Well, we've got news for him. Poorer people are having fewer children.
Why would he say that?
Yeah, why would he when it's actually a crisis all over the world? Because they're kind of the people who do these kind of calculations say there won't be enough young people to take care of the old people if it continues to go the way it's going, and there won't be enough people to manufacture goods and so on and so forth. So there's a kind of a birth crisis that we're participating in. It's worse in some other countries, but it's still getting pretty bad here. We're down to 1.5, whereas we have to be at 2.1 children per mother to renew the population. So we're heading in the same direction. We mask our problems because we have very high immigration rate,
which changes eventually, like we've seen in the UK. And Simon Elmer gave us the stats on that last week. Undeniable. that it changes the mix fundamentally of the native population of a country. When you've got a low birth rate and you've got high immigration from other countries and cultures, we're changing the face of
Absolutely.
Our country.
Look at UK.
Right now.
I mean, there are whole cities in the UK where they sort of effectively have Sharia law. It's not sustainable. There's only so many people you can assimilate. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, that's a problem that's going on globally, and it has to do with the vast movements of people from areas of conflict, all of it.
I think they call it the Great Replacement Guy.
Yeah, well,
I think that's what they're calling it.
Yeah, and
formerly known as a conspiracy theory, but now known to be absolutely correct and true.
No, there are other indications of what's going on because, you know, interestingly enough, the Stats New Zealand have decided to stop publishing weekly death figures. So the kind of figures that we rely on here at the Hatchard Report to find out what's going on month by month are now going. So they're busy hiding, and why is the big question.
So there's been no why.
Yeah, no. It's just, you know, we're going to stop doing that. And that's a crime, in my opinion, because...
Well, it tells you what's going on. It's the quiet part out loud and all of that. Jeez.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But there are other indications that are still being published. One of them is the number of people who are unable to work due to disability. And the year to June 2024, that increased by 8.2%. So that's a huge number of people. Thousands of people who now no longer can work because they're suffering from debilitating health conditions. We don't have the statistics of how many people are getting cancer or heart disease. We have leaked data indicating that heart disease might have almost doubled, but it's being hidden by the government. But there are some figures which show you that underneath this, this is very real. We are in the middle of a health crisis that the government is absolutely refusing to look at. We have our excess deaths continuing. They're slightly down on last year, but they are up on the historical trend still, and still seriously up on the historical trend. We're just not seeing the government addressing any of this. We've got a government that's talking about, oh, the health crisis is due to administrative inefficiency. That's nonsense.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I need to get the Minister of Statistics somehow on this program, or someone, one of the hosts on RCR needs to get that person on and ask the question straight. Why are you not publishing their stats? Because until you tell us, we're assuming is you're trying to hide deaths. That's what we've got to say.
Yeah, and they're consistently hiding whether these people receive this experimental gene vaccine or not. That's the key statistic that has to be out there, because otherwise no one knows what's going on.
No. Well... I think
we do know, don't we?
I mean, I want to be wrong. I so want to be wrong. You know? But I don't think I am.
You know, I've got to be optimistic here. I've got to be optimistic that this is an end game. This is going to come to a crisis. It's going to be, this is the sort of, these sort of figures, they're precursors to conflict, to crises. It's going to come to a head.
And yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
And how that will happen, or, you know, what kind of world we'd be living in then, we're not sure of. And of course, that's a bit scary. But we're going to hold on to our principles, aren't we? We're going to be prepared and hold on to our principles and know that truth alone triumphs.
Great note to end on, Guy, unless you've got anything more to add to that. It's pretty hard to top that one, though, I'm going to say.
Oh, well, it was great talking to you this morning, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.